Dr. Finlay's Casebook. Adapted for radio from the television series based on the characters created by A.J. Cronin, with Andrew Cruikshank as Dr. Cameron, Barbara Mullen as Janet, and Bill Simpson as Dr. Finlay. This week, Charlie is My Darling, written by Alistair Bell and adapted for radio by Pat Dunlop.
Arden House. Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Cameron is out at the moment. Who is that speaking? Oh, yes, Mrs. Main. I'm sorry to hear that. Would you hold on, Mrs. Main? Here's Dr. Finlay.
Who is it?
It's Charlie Main's mother, Dr. Finlay.
Oh, yes. Give me the phone, Janet. Thank you. Hello, Dr. Finlay here. I know Mrs. Main, but he's out on other cases. What's the trouble? I see. All right, I'll come and see him right away. Yes, in just a few minutes. Goodbye for now.
Is he coughing up blood again, Dr. Finlay?
Not quite, Janet, but he's staining. Will you get my bag, Janet? I'll just away and mix him something for the cough.
This is Dr. Finlay, Charlie.
Oh, hello, Doctor. I've seen you around. What's wrong with Dr. Cameron? Has he given me up as a bad job?
He was out when your mother called. Is this the handkerchief?
Aye. I'm well trained, Doctor. Everything laid out, including me. I put myself to bed.
Where were you?
Oh, out in his ducat, Doctor, with the pigeons.
Oh, you keep pigeons, do you?
Aye, it helps pass the time. Bach, you can put that stethoscope away, Doctor. I've got galloping consumption.
You've got no such thing.
Ah, well, it's going a fair good trot then, eh? I suppose you'll want to be sending me back to the sanatorium. I might as well tell you now, you're wasting your time.
When were you last there?
About a year ago. I discharged myself.
I tried to make him stop in, Doctor, but oh no, not him.
What work are you doing, Charlie?
Oh, I can see humour is one of your strong points, Doctor. I don't work.
Oh, he does wee odd jobs for Mr. Weems, you know, in the scrapyard.
You might call it part-time work, Doctor, for a part-time man.
You got this in the army, didn't you?
Aye. I was invalided out. They gave me a war pension. Then they took it away again.
When you left the sanatorium?
Aye. Still, we scrape along all right, don't we, Mother? She goes out scrubbing floors, Doctor.
You did pretty well during the war, didn't you?
Some folk would put it that way.
Ah, you know all about him winning the military medal.
Yes, I've heard.
You weren't in the war, Doctor?
No.
Well, you didn't miss much.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was someone here.
Oh, come away in, Sheila. Dr. Finlay would like to know why I'll not be going back to the sanatorium. Well, there you are, Doctor. There's two reasons for a start, Doctor. My mother and Miss Hogg here.
What's that supposed to mean?
All the sanatorium can do for me is keep me alive and no more. That way I'm no good to them. I'm no good to anybody.
Oh, don't haver now.
It's what you might call a lost cause, Doctor. Would you no agree?
No, I wouldn't. I think you're being unfair to your mother and to Miss Hogg.
And what about you, Doctor? Am I being unfair to you? Maybe you think you can cure me. Give me a chance to be a man.
Well, well, Maisie McKendrick, so you're still in the land of the living.
Oh, there's still a lot to live for, Dr. Cameron.
I passed Eileen on the way in. She was leaving with her bags.
Aye. That's the third maid gone in as many months.
They don't know when they're well off, Maisie.
Oh, it's not the girls, it's their mothers. I'm not exactly a respectable woman in their eyes.
I know, it's the only reason I come to see you. You're as wicked as sin. Now bear your arm for the injection.
Well, I'm no denying I've had my moments.
If only I'd been there.
Oh, you're just after my money, Angus. My ill-gotten gains.
The proceeds of your godless pursuits. I can just see myself in charge of one of your dance halls.
I think you'd do it rather well.
I'm not sure about the billiard rooms. Perhaps I should leave the running of those to you.
Well, we'll draw up the papers in the morning. It's a pity I didn't know about it earlier.
Why?
I had a visit from the lawyers this morning.
What were they wanting?
Well, Barney's wife gets the estate.
Oh, she's come out of hiding, has she?
Oh, I'm more sorry for her than anything else.
So you should be. You took out a man from it.
Aye. It must have been a sore blow to her pride, if not to her heart.
How have you been feeling yourself today?
Great, thank you, Angus. Do not look it.
You do indeed. The liver injections will soon bring back the colour to your cheeks. In the meantime, you are not to exert yourself or get excited.
Well, I'll try not to.
By the by, I brought the gramophone record you were asking for.
Oh, I knew you wouldn't forget.
You are ruining my reputation. Do you realize that?
How?
Mackenzie in the shop used to respect me as a music lover. Oh. He's beginning to give me some funny looks. Here, let me put it on for you.
Oh, thanks, Angus. And thank you for getting it. No, leave the handle. It's already wound.
There.
Going to ask me to dance.
I will take you up on that.
Eh?
The first day you're out of your bed.
Oh.
You can say what you like, Sheila. I'm not going back to the sanatorium.
Even if it means the difference between being dead and being alive?
Being dead and just being here, you mean?
No, it isn't. There's plenty of things you can do.
Like what?
We could get married.
Ach, don't be daft.
Well, why not? Only about 8% of wives get the disease.
Oh, there's a bookie shouting the odds, is there? Sheila, I can't even kiss you. It's bad enough just now, without getting married. Now think about it. You just think about it.
If they don't get married, it's not for want of Sheila's asking. Every year is leap year to her, and he always says no.
He's a sensible man.
It's a poor substitute for love, Dr. Finlay.
What is?
Sense.
Dr. Cameron, you know he's as daft about her as she is about him.
I do know it. But I'm not the one who's prattling about sense.
Now, it's no prattle. I'm as sorry for Charlie Mayne as you are. Doesn't deceive me with his wee jokes.
He's a lonely, unhappy lad. I remember Charlie before he went to France.
That was where he developed TB, Dr. Finlay. And a sense of humour. He was 17.
Bit young, wasn't he?
He cheated his age. He didn't know why at the time, but they told him later it was to make a land fit for heroes to live in. He's found since it's a land only a hero could live in. All Charlemagne wants is a chance to live at all. I don't mean just exist. Charlie knows what's due to a man.
And why doesn't somebody do something about it?
Are you suggesting I've not done all I should, Dr. Finn?
Of course not. But why doesn't the town do something? What use is a medal to a chronically sick man?
What do you suggest they should do?
Well, they could stump up and send him to Switzerland.
Switzerland?
Yes. Davos. Dr. Beringer's sanatorium.
I see you have worked it out to the last detail, Dr. Finlay. Not merely Switzerland, not just Davos, but the lair of this particular Dr. Beringer. Which room shall he occupy?
Beringer's statistics are very impressive.
I am suitably punctured.
I'm sorry, I was thinking of the people of the town, not you.
Charlemagne would not countenance a public appeal. Dr. Finlay, I will have a quiet word with those who can afford to give.
Thank you.
I must warn you now, your gratitude may be premature. I've talked to 50 of the better-off people in this town, Maisie. The donations total £25.
25? That'll not last a month.
There was an overwhelming lack of enthusiasm when they found they wouldn't get their names in the papers. Just anonymous donors to the Charlie Mayne Testimonial Fund.
I'll make it up to whatever is necessary.
I knew you would, Maisie. Thank you.
Well, he was a soldier, and I've made a fair bit out of soldiers in my time. Some of them danced for the last time in my halls. So you tell your doctor what's his name to send his bill to me every month.
Well, yes, of course. Thank you, Maisie.
Perhaps you'd prefer the lump sum now.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you please, Maisie.
This is a funny way to find out.
Find out what?
It's too late now, Angus. I saw it flicker in your face.
I do not think I understand you, Maisie.
Oh, yes, you do. Charlie Mayne has got a chance. I haven't. And it isn't the anemia. It's the heart. Now, isn't that right?
Maisie, Maisie.
Ach, don't fret. Charlie Mayne's done me a great favor. He can call it quits from the start.
Oh, you silly besom, Sheila. You've slopped the cocoa.
I'm sorry, Charlie. It was an accident.
It's no good just pouring the saucer back in the cup. It'll slop my pajamas.
Get another saucer.
Oh, don't bother. Oh, I'm sorry, lass. Can't he help it?
I know. I do understand.
I didn't mean to jump at you. Oh, God. It's like a brick wall between us.
Charlie, I can see through the wall. Honest, I can.
Maybe. But you can't climb over it.
Charlie, if only you'd do something about it. Go back to the sanatorium or something.
Well, Dr. Finlay, you have your heart's desire. Charlie Mayne can go to Switzerland. I have found a benefactor who will make up the fund to the sum Charlie needs.
No.
Oh, that is wonderful news, Dr. Cameron.
Now, wait a minute. Does this benefactor know how much it's going to cost?
Yes, including surgery if it proves necessary.
Entallach Bray? Why, it's a miracle. Who is it?
I am not at liberty to tell you that. Drummond, the bank manager, will handle everything.
Dr. Cameron, is it you?
Don't be ridiculous, woman.
No publicity. This is a rare bird.
You might say so. As far as Charlie is concerned, a group of his admirers in the town are meeting the bill in acknowledgement of his war service.
Oh, that's great news, Dr. Cameron. I can't wait to tell Charlie.
Yes, there is that hurdle to be overcome.
What do you mean?
Charlie Mayne has a mind of his own, Dr. Finlay.
Well, he's not stupid enough to turn down something like this.
Dr. Finlay, you are about to give something to Charlie Mayne. Will you bear in mind that you're also about to take something away?
Oh, put the bird back in the ducat, Charlie. Let the poor thing die in peace.
Ah, you're right. Dying it is. Oh, it'll want to die among its own.
Now, who can that be? It's no Sheila's time.
Good morning, Mrs. Mayne.
Dr. Finlay. We weren't expecting you.
I know, but I've got some good news for Charlie. The kind that won't wait.
Oh, that's usually bad news in my experience.
Not this time. Charlie, how would you like to go to Switzerland?
Switzerland?
Yes, Switzerland.
Oh, I'd love to, Doctor. But I can't even remember where I left my skis.
Look, there's a group here in the town who'll meet the whole cost. Fare, board, treatment.
Single or return fare.
Oh, Charlie. Oh, is that no great, Doctor? You know, I've always said it. Charlie's well-loved in the town.
I know what the town thinks of me.
This is their acknowledgement of your war service. They don't want any publicity.
Doctor, how long would he have to be away?
Oh, that's hard to say, Miss Hogg. Oh, a year, perhaps.
Ah, they're wasting their time, the town. You're all wasting your time.
Don't you think you're being a wee bit silly?
Look, I've as much chance of being cured as this bird has. As a matter of fact, you might say we're kind of similar, Doctor.
Why, what's the matter with it?
Oh, it flew into a wire and burst its breast open. Feed it with peas and they just drop out the front. It can't drink either.
Yeah, let's see it.
You can see its wee heart beating.
Mm. Here, Charlie. Hold this for me.
What are you doing?
Yeah, just keep us still. I'll soon be over.
Is it all right, putting stitches in a pigeon?
You haven't got much faith in me, have you?
Will she be able to race again?
She'll be able to eat as well. Without the peas dropping out the front.
Aye, what do you think of that now, Charlie?
There. That's it. Glad to have been some service.
Dr. Finlay, what's the soonest I can go?
Charlie, I'll have you out of here and off to Switzerland in no time at all.
There are about 300 different types of skin disease, Mr. Sangster. If you have your hands in motor oil every day, you know what to expect.
Cure the itch, Doctor, and I'll no complain. I'm a bit surprised that you're not down the town seeing Charlie Mayne off. Everyone else in Tallach Bray was there.
I was busy.
I brought out the big rolls for them. Charlie sat in the back with his mother and Miss Hogg. Dr. Finlay was up front with a chauffeur.
He'd like that, I'm sure.
Aye, he was chirpy today. I heard him say he was staying with friends in Glasgow, a sort of reunion from when he was in hospital there.
I fear the worst.
Of course, I made it clear to Charlie that I wasn't expecting to be paid for the hire.
Very generous of you.
Oh, well, what can you do? I mean, after what he did in the war.
We must never forget that.
Do you ken who put up the money, Doctor?
If I did, I'd be happy to thank them.
Well, we're not made of money, but six clubbing together, well, it's not so difficult. All substantial men of business, Doctor.
Ah, so that's how it was done.
Nothing's too good for Charlie Mayne.
Quite so. Very generous of you. What about Charlie's mother?
What about her?
The Legion is looking after her, but she could use a pound now and then. Do you think the Syndicate might dig a little deeper?
I'll have a word with them, Dr. Cameron.
Oh, you do that. And I'll have a word with Mrs. Mayne. She'll be expecting you. Good night now.
Good night.
He'll have a word with them.
Is something amusing you, Dr. Cameron?
Aye, Janet, there's Will Sangster trying to tell me it's him and his cronies who are financing Charlie's trip to Switzerland.
Oh, Maisie McKendrick will get a big laugh when you tell her that.
Yeah, she will too. How the devil did you know that, Janet? It's a close-kept secret.
Well, who else has the heart, Doctor? In Tannochbray?
You will not tell Dr. Finlay.
If I thought you meant that, Dr. Cameron, I would not stay in this house another 5 minutes.
Arden House? Dr. Cameron? Yes, yes. I'll be along there right away. Yes, of course. Just keep her very still. No, give her nothing till I arrive. Thank you. There are some strange ironies in our work, Janet.
What is it, Doctor?
Maisie McKendrick. She is having a heart attack.
My own fault, Dr. Cameron. I got up to the window to look at the band as they saw young Charlie Mayne off.
You always were one for a bit of a show.
Oh, aye.
Well, now, come on, take your medicine. Knock it back.
Cheers. I'm a silly woman.
You are indeed. I cannot think why I bother.
You know, if it hadn't been for Barney, I think I would have had a fancy for you.
I saw you coming. Now close your eyes and relax, Maisie. I liked Barney, what little I saw of him.
I loved him.
Ah.
You'll be coming again in the morning.
I am staying here with you.
Well, mind, the neighbours will talk.
Let them. You just show me where I can make a cup of tea and a sandwich.
Your breakfast, Dr. Finlay. You'd better have it while it's hot.
Ah, thanks, Janet. Is Dr. Cameron not up?
He's not back yet.
From where?
Maisie McKendrick's house.
He's been there all night?
Yes.
Why didn't he call me? I'd have relieved him.
That'll be Dr. Cameron now.
It is bleak this morning.
Aye. I'll just fetch your breakfast, Dr. Cameron.
Just coffee, Janet. Nothing else.
How's Maisie?
She died in her sleep.
Look at that, Sheila. More bearers than mourners. There's just Dr. Cameron, the minister, and McPhee the solicitor.
Oh, come away from the window and leave her in peace, Mrs. Mayne.
Mind you, it's no surprising the way she carried on.
There's a lot worse than Maisie McKendrick.
Taking up with married men, gallivanting around with this one and that.
Well, she'll no gallivant any more, will she?
No.
Town will have to find someone else to throw sticks at.
It was herself supplied them.
Uh-huh. Put all the blame onto her. She went around hurting folk all the time,
eh? Oh, I don't know about that, but I know she wasn't decent.
She wasn't a hypocrite anyway.
Oh, and I am.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Well, I'm glad to know what you think of me, Sheila. I'm finding out quite a lot about you.
I never said you were a hypocrite.
You think more of a shameless hussy than you think of me.
No, I don't. Anyway, the woman's dead. Now, let her rest. Oh, what are we arguing for?
Oh, I know. It's just with Charlie away. God forgive me. I even miss his cough.
Such a long time. A year.
It'll pass.
It's easier for you. You're his mother. He'll come back to you.
And to you.
A lot can happen in a year.
Come in, man. Yes, yes, you look good to me.
I've never felt better, Dr. Cameron.
It's nice to have you back, Charlie. Come and sit down.
Time to face the music, eh?
Dr. Berenger is very pleased with you, according to this report.
Aye, I'd give him a good report myself.
Your sputum's been negative for 6 months. The disease is arrested, and the lesions are beginning to chalk up.
It's a fine wee word, arrested.
I'm going to sign you off. You're fit for light work.
Aye, I'm fixed up already.
Oh, what are you going to do?
Oh, I'm on full time at the scrapyard, going round with a cart. Plenty of fresh air.
Very well, but don't overdo it.
Ah, well, that's just the trouble, Doctor. What's overdoing it? I've had a year off work. Can I no pretend I'm a man now, please myself? Forget I was sick once.
You are a man, Charlie. You can live like a man. A man who is capable of earning his living. But like any other man, you must take precautions. Keep your feet dry. Stop work when it gets too hard. Perhaps I'd better qualify the advice. You can live like a middle-aged man.
Ach, well. Better to be middle-aged before my time than die young, eh?
Precisely.
You'll come and see us every 3 months, Charlie. And sooner, if you're bothered by anything.
Aye, I'll do that. Well, I'd better be going. Thanks, Dr. Finlay. And Dr. Cameron. And, by the by, if you should get round to telling me who paid, I'd like to thank him in person.
You don't owe anybody anything, Charlie.
Well, we'll see. Good day to you both.
Frankly, Dr. Cameron, I don't think much of that rag and bone lark out in all weathers.
What else is there for, Charlie, mean? Not if only without that job, Charlie would probably become a bookies runner or some such street corners and in due course prison. After that petty thieving.
I still think it's chancy.
Of course it's chancy. That's what he means by living like a man. To live without careful calculation of the odds against living.
Was it worth waiting for?
I didn't wait, Charlie.
What?
I've been kissing you like that for years in my dreams. And more.
Aye, we can get wed now, Sheila.
Aye.
What do you mean, aye?
Did you ask the doctors?
No, I didn't. I didn't ask the provost either. It's me that's proposing, not Dr. Finlay.
Then I'll have to ask them myself.
Sheila, you're no frightened.
I never was. I'm not frightened now, except for you.
I'm a fit man.
Well, we'll just have to find out exactly what you're fit for, Charlie Mean.
Well, well, Miss Hogg, that's good news. Nice to be engaged. Congratulations.
Hey, that's just it, Dr. Finlay. I don't want to be engaged. I want to be wed. What I want to know is whether it's all right for Charlie.
Oh, well, that's a difficult question, Miss Hogg. I don't know that I can answer it. In a few months' time, perhaps.
Good evening, Sheila. I just want a book from the shelf there. You don't mind, Dr. Finlay?
No, not at all. Hey, Miss Hogg was just asking me if it was all right for Charlie Mayne to get married.
No earthly reason why not. What about a wedding present? How will it be if I pay for a special license?
Oh, that's all I want to know. I'll not trouble you any longer. You can keep the money, Dr. Cameron. You've given me Charlie. Are you not wanting your breakfast, Charlie? Oh, you've been here all night. Oh, you're soaking.
Oh, I'm coming in now.
Is it not back yet?
No.
Which one is it?
Oh, the wee blue checker hen. Dr. Finlay's bird.
It can't win now, can it?
No. She should have been back last night to stand a chance.
You're not going to your work this morning, are you, Charlie?
I'm all right.
You keep saying now, that.
I'll weigh in and lay out my breakfast and stop worrying. Oh, God. No.
What is it, Charlie?
Sheila, I'm staying in.
Relax, Charlie. Just take it easy.
Doctor, I'm scared.
You're all right.
Aye?
Don't talk. Just listen. Charlie, you made your own decision when you stayed up all night for the pigeon.
What are you talking about?
Either you live like a man, or you don't, Charlie.
Aye.
I don't understand, Dr. Cameron.
You're a woman, Sheila. Charlie's a man. We're leaving to rest now. Charlie, keep to your bed. I'll be visiting you.
Did you see him, Dr. Cameron? He's even frightened to cough.
Yes, Mrs. Mayne, I know.
I blame Dr. Finlay.
Indeed.
Charlie was all right before he sent him to Switzerland. He was all right.
Mrs. Mayne, it was I who was responsible for sending Charlie to Switzerland.
You?
I failed to get enough cash from the townspeople, so I persuaded Maisie McKendrick to put up the money.
That woman. Bad money never brought happiness to anybody.
What do you mean, Mrs. Mayne?
Taking help from that woman.
Maisie McKendrick's money was as good as anybody else's, a lot better than most.
It came from a lot of idle pleasures.
It came from a lot of people who were enjoying themselves.
All my days I've been a decent woman, Dr. Cameron. I've never touched a penny I didn't know was cleanly earned.
You don't mean to tell me you seriously believe that using Maisie McKendrick's money was responsible for Charlie's relapse?
The Lord has his own way of punishing us, Dr. Cameron.
Whatever happens to Charlie now, Mrs. Mayne, will have nothing to do with the way Maisie McKendrick lived her life. It's the way Charlie tried to live his. And only the Almighty will be the judge of both of them. Good day to you, Mrs. Mayne.
You've been listening to Charlie Is My Darling by Alistair Bell, adapted for radio by Pat Dunlop, based on the characters created by A.J. Cronin and broadcast by arrangement with Graham Stewart. The cast was as follows. Dr. Cameron, Andrew Cruikshank, Janet, Barbara Mullen, Dr. Finlay, Bill Simpson, Mrs. Mayne, Molly Weir, Charlie, Fraser Carr, Sheila Hogg, Yvonne Gillen, Maisie McKendrick, Madeline Christie, Mr. Sangster, Calman Glass. The play was produced by Trafford Whitelock.